Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final hour now of the Jesse Kelly Show. Man, I told you it was going to be a juicy one tonight, didn't I? We've been talking to Green Berets. We were talking history tonight. I'm even going to come out pro-discrimination here in just a couple minutes. What, Chris? It's fine. Don't worry. Did you see Senator Tom Cotton? Credit to him. Kroger is a huge grocery store brand. I don't know if you have Kroger's where you live. We have them here in Texas. But Kroger, of course, like every other major corporation, is totally thrown in with the communists out there. And Tom Cotton, I like it.
The situation reminds me a little bit of the situation big tech companies have found themselves in recent years. They've come to Washington because they fear regulation from our Democratic friends or action by the Biden administration, and they expect Republicans, who are traditionally more supportive of free enterprise, to come to their defense. And I've cautioned them for years that if they silence conservatives and center-right voters across the country, if they discriminate against them in their company, they probably shouldn't come and ask Republican senators to carry the water for them whenever our Democratic friends want to regulate them or block their mergers. So I've heard a lot of questioning about that today, and I've read a lot about it in the news. And I'll say this. I'm sorry that's happening to you. Best of luck.
Republicans, are you listening? That's how it's done. Drop this ridiculous old notion. Well, I mean, we have to be a pro-business. Let's cut their taxes and regulations. No, those things are wonderful. I love pro-business. I love low taxes and less regulations. If a business has declared war on you and your people, then you declare war back. What did we do after Japan attacked Pearl Harbor? Did we say, well, that's not who we are? No. If war has been declared, and it very much has been declared on the right in this country by America's corporations, then our representatives on the right in this country, as few as we have, our representatives on the right should declare war back. You know, a big reason, let me get to this FBI, Elon Musk stuff here in a minute, but you know a really big reason why companies have gone to the left? There are a couple different reasons. Okay, so the first reason is we have a rancid education system starting very, very early in this country. Children are trained from a very early age that America sucks. And lots of times it's very subtle, but they're trained America sucks. Your kid's second grade history class, his teacher probably won't get up and tell him America sucks, but his teacher will say, okay, we're doing American history this year, class, and here's the parts of American history. We're first going to cover the slaughter of Native Americans. It was a genocide. And then we'll cover slavery. America's this slavery place with lots of slaves and slaves. And we'll go from the slavery part to we'll talk about segregation a lot. We'll go into a lot of segregation. And then we'll wrap it up. That's it for history. You don't have to teach them anything else. That's all they're taught now in school. That's all of America they're taught. So anyway, we have the education system that people go up through that education system. They go into communist finishing school, also known as university, where you're currently paying six figures to have your child educated by your enemies. They send them to communist finishing school, and then you go into the corporate world and bring that communist ideology there. So that's part of it. Another part of it is this. Another part of it is communists are outstanding at this. They seek out the gates. They seek out the choke points, and they become the gatekeepers. You don't have to take over an entire company if you're a communist and you walk into a corporation. Take over the HR department. Control who comes, who goes. Control the training employees have to go through as part of the company. You are the de facto head of the company, and we have a lot of crazy cat lady communists in HR departments across the country. That's another part of it. Another part of it is simple cowardice. You see, the communist street scum, they will go boycott somebody. The right loves to brag about how nice and kind we are. No, 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 that's not who we are. It's not my principles. I don't do that. But another part of it is simply this. These corporations have gone over to the dark side because the dark side, the communists, to their credit, they will punish their enemies. When Democrats look at oil companies and say, I'm coming for you, Democrats actually mean what they say, and they get elected and they start canceling oil leases. Joe Biden put out a public thing on social media, I mean, completely unconstitutional. In my opinion, he could be impeached for this alone. Joe Biden flat out said publicly, hey, oil companies, lower your prices or we're going to raise your taxes. President of the United States of America pointed to an entire industry and said, do what I want or I'm coming for you. I give Joe Biden credit. I give Democrats credit. They mean what they say. When Democrats want a portion of society to be brought to heel, when they want a portion of society to kneel before them, credit to them. They go make it happen. The right, exactly the opposite. We get elected, and instead of punishing our corporate enemies, we get elected and we talk about how principled we are. Well, that's not what it says in the Constitution. That's not what Thomas Jefferson wouldn't do that, guys. That's not who we are. We're supposed to be above that. Well, if corporations only have to fear Democrats and they don't have to fear Republicans, why wouldn't they side with him? I would. If I was an unprincipled piece of trash and I was a CEO of Nike, let's say I'm a CEO of Nike. I don't have any real core belief system outside of making money. It came up through the education system, but I'm CEO of Nike. And you ask me in a boardroom, hey, what should we do this? Should we do this? It favors Democrats. Or should we do this? It favors Republicans. I would say, what are you, some kind of an idiot? Why would I ever do anything that favors Republicans? They're going to get elected and they're going to brag about how principled they are and not do anything to me. But if I do something against the Democrats, they're going to come for us, man. They're going to tax us. They're going to regulate us out of existence. Democrats mean what they say. Of course, we'll side with Democrats every time. Until we surrender this notion of what we want America to be, because I want America to be limited government. That's what you want, right? You want a constitutional limited government. That's what I want too. But we don't have that. There's nothing close to that now. We're not even in that realm anymore. We're already in a tyranny here. So until we start using power, well, we're never going to get anywhere with corporate America. That's why I tell you all the time about putting your money where your morals are. You vote with your dollars every day. You've heard me say these things 1,000 times. I mean that. We have to start using that power and be purposeful about it. And I can't believe when I say things like that, when I tell people, hey, stop going to Disney World. Don't go see the new Disney filth movie. I'll actually get people on the right. Still many people to this day, they'll email into the show, Jesse, that's so wrong. That's not who we are. The right doesn't boycott. I hear this all the time. We don't boycott. And I love doing this when I get that question, when I get someone say that. I love telling people or asking people, okay, why? You never get an answer. The only answer you'll ever get when you ask somebody why is, that's not who we are. Okay, no, that's not an answer. Why wouldn't I boycott? So instead of boycotting, I'm instead going to actually pay the people who are attacking me. I'm going to pay them to attack me. Instead of abstaining from something, instead of not going to that movie on the weekend with all the stuff that's filthy, instead of that, I'm actually going to go right up to the communist who's purposely trying to indoctrinate my kids, and I'm going to hand him a $100 bill and say, yeah, thanks, man. Keep it up. We have got to change this mentality. We have got to start being much, much, much more aggressive. We have got to start playing offense. Credit to Tom Cotton if that's changing.
This situation reminds me a little bit of the situation big tech companies have found themselves in recent years. They've come to Washington because they fear regulation from our Democratic friends or action by the Biden administration, and they expect Republicans, who are traditionally more supportive of free enterprise, to come to their defense. And I've cautioned them for years that if they silence conservatives and center-right voters across the country, if they discriminate against them in their company, they probably shouldn't come and ask Republican senators to carry the water for them whenever our Democratic friends want to regulate them or block their mergers. So I've heard a lot of questioning about that today, and I've read a lot about it in the news. And I'll say this. I'm sorry that's happening to you. Best of luck.
That's how it's done. Punish them back. Now, I have an idea for you for Christmas time. Christmas. Consider this Jesse Kelly's Christmas special, Chris. What? Not that you'd know anything about Christmas. Anyway, Chris, hey, look, good news is buy this for someone for Hanukkah. Do you guys buy Hanukkah gifts for each other? There are Hanukkah gifts? There's like a bunch of days of them, right? Had to Tommy Topper us, did you? Okay, anyway, so for Christmas or Hanukkah, you can get someone a Mantis X. A Mantis X attaches to your weapon. You practice with your weapon in the comfort of your home. They give you, you know, they give you feedback, right? It's not just target practice. Oh, pew, pew, look, I'm on target. They're putting you through drills and giving you feedback. They're making you better. Go to MantisX.com and get one today. MantisX.com. Train, train, train. Always be ready. Hang on.
Miss something?
There's a podcast.
Get it on demand wherever podcasts are found. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and Chris just asked me if I ever listened to the lyrics of that song coming in. I got to be totally honest about something right now, Chris, and I know you're going to find this shocking because I know what a hero I am to you. I don't know if there's something wrong with my ears, and I don't say that because I can't hear things. I can hear things. I'm not hard of hearing. I don't need people to shout at me and things like that. I don't understand what people are saying lots of the time, and I can't. I think there's some sort of a mental flaw. I know you think I'm the smartest person who ever lived, and that's kind of true. But I know I think I have something. I really mean this. I think there's something wrong with my brain. If there's more than one sound coming at me, I can't hear anything. I mean, I can't decipher anything. I don't know what's wrong with me. It actually has affected, Chris has learned. Here, I'll just tell you right now. Chris has learned, and you know I do TV too. Every single night, the first TV, 9 o'clock Eastern time, I do a TV show, and you might not be able to see it, but I have an earpiece in where my producer can say things to me on the show. Everyone has learned by this point in time, if you're going to talk to me, like when I'm talking or listening to someone else, it basically has to be one word, or I completely lose my train of thought. I didn't hear anything. What's happening? I know there's something wrong with me, but the wife will do this. If I'm on the phone, I'll be on the phone with someone, and she's not like rude or anything about it, but I'll be on the phone. It actually happened to me this morning. I'm on the phone in the living room with somebody, and I'm talking to someone, and she'll come out, and she'll ask just a quick question, a yes or no answer. I not only didn't hear the question she asked, I now missed everything the person on the phone who was talking because there are two people talking and now nobody's talking. I know there's something wrong with me. I know there is. What, Chris? First of all, Chris asked if it was before or after the military. First of all, Chris, again, I wasn't in the military. I was in the Marines, all right? I was in the Marines. That's totally different. That's one. Two, No, this is, I can't blame the Marines for that. I don't know what this is. I don't know what it is. I don't know why it is. And this bleeds over into my personal life. If we're in a car, if we're in a car, we were just in the car the other night, had to drive to some band concert for the boys. Other parents are at football games, and I was at a band concert. Anyway, we were at a band concert for the boys, and we're driving there, and the radio was on, and it was a song that one of my sons liked. So he said, hey, can you turn it up a little bit? And he turned it up a little bit, and we're driving, and then he starts saying something to me. But because the music's so loud, I can't hear. And I got angry. I got mad. It's not like I started yelling and screaming, but I reached over and turned the volume all the way down. I just turned it off. I basically told my dad, no more radio ever. That's what I did to my son. I don't know what's wrong. I can't hear two things at once. So you asked if I've ever listened to the lyrics. You know what I've heard in that song? You know what I've heard? Hey, way, I got a vivid, a DVD, bad. That's really all I heard at all. I don't really know words per se. Does that make sense, Chris? Does that make sense? I wanted to come clean with everyone out here. All right. Let's answer a couple emails before I get to the FBI Elon Musk stuff. Dear Oracle, what is your opinion of pit bulls? Seems like every year they are by far the breed of dog most responsible for attacks against humans. Should we even have these things around in our neighborhoods with our kids? Thank you. I chose to answer this question because, well, it's personal. It's going to make a bunch of people mad, and I think those answers are hilarious. Here's my thing about this, because I've actually been asked this before. I've seen a lot of people I know and trust say pit bulls need to be banned. I've heard a lot of people I know and trust say that's ridiculous, how it's all about the training of the dog and things like that. I've heard both sides. I get it. Not really an issue I've ever been hot on, but I will simply say this. I have mentioned this before. We've mentioned this on the show, that I think the most damaging invention in the history of mankind is the photograph and everything that came from it. Photograph eventually became video. Why? It's not that I don't enjoy looking at photographs. I'm looking at the back of my phone. My phone case has my picture on it. I could just stare into these eyes all day long. What, Chris? I love photographs. You like photographs. I get it. But what a photograph does is it creates an emotional response. And almost universally, an emotional response is a bad response. What do I mean by that? Well, if you were to ask me with no pictures in front of me, hey, there's this breed of dog. Maybe you wrote down a bunch of statistics, but there's these pit bulls, this breed of dog. It's attacking and killing people. I would probably look at it and maybe I'd read your case, but I would guess I would come to the conclusion, no, gosh, you can't ban a breed of dog. It's clearly about the training. Hey, maybe we should hold the owners responsible. These guys, that's what I would come to the conclusion on. However, I've seen the same stories you see. I see the picture of a 7-year-old girl who's been mauled to death, her and her mother. Her face is gone. And just like you, I want them banned. Ban every one of them forever. Let's go round them all up. An emotional response. In general, I avoid emotional responses. And if I feel emotional about something, like if someone has the music too loud, then I just wait and calm down a little bit. All right? All right. Elon Musk. How did he not know who was working for him? I'll explain in a second.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency.
Did you make a mistake in sending arms to Tehran, sir?
No.
It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
And I'm not taking any more questions. In just a second, I'm going to ask Attorney General.
I'm Leon Neyfakh, co-creator of Slow Burn. In my podcast, Fiasco, Iran-Contra, you'll hear all the unbelievable details of a scandal that captivated the nation nearly 40 years ago, but which few of us still remember today.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't know why that song's so pleasant, Chris. It's awesome. We play great music on this show. You know what I'm proud of, Chris? Me. What? I know you picked the music. Shut up. Anyway, it is the Jesse Kelly Show. You can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Your love, your hate, your death threats, your Ask Dr. Jesse questions, all the ways we're
changing people's lives
on this show, Chris. All the ways we've done that. I got this one. I loved it. I got this email. We'll get to the James Baker, Elon Musk thing here in a second. Dr. Jesse, how can politicians add Journalism Competition and Protection Act to the flippin' defense spending bill? How could they do that? Why would they do that? Well, this is the lead Republican in the Senate.
Yeah, I would respond by saying today we gave the gold medal to the heroes of January 6th. We admire and respect them. They laid their lives on the line, and that's why we gave a gold medal today to the heroes of January 6th.
Did you really think that person was an anti-communist who's there fighting for you in any way? That's why I don't care that we don't have the Senate, 51-49. We wouldn't have had the Senate if we had it, 51-49. A bunch of losers we sent to D.C. Okay, I wanted to get to this because there's two answers to the question I'm about to ask. And I don't know which one's worse. Here's the headlines from Fox News. Ousted Twitter counsel Jim Baker vetted Twitter files without Elon Musk's knowledge, Matt Taibbi reveals. Okay, so what am I talking about? Hold on, let's rewind. Elon Musk bought Twitter. You know all that by now. Elon Musk bought Twitter. He figured out Twitter very much interfered with the 2020 election, suppressing the Hunter Biden laptop story. So he decided to have his company start digging into the internal emails, and he wanted the internal emails released to an independent journalist named Matt Taibbi to show what the company did or didn't do. And this was this big thing. It happened last week. Twitter gets in there. Someone filters out the emails, figures out what's what, and they release them to Matt Taibbi. We've talked about them on the show before. And the emails were bad, and they showed all this Twitter bias and stuff like that. But what they didn't show was something very, very interesting. What the Twitter files, you know, hey, we're opening the books. We're showing you everything. But they didn't show any coordination between the FBI and Twitter, which is weird. Because we know now for a fact, these are things we knew. We know for a fact that Facebook had the FBI having weekly meetings with them. Mark Zuckerberg on camera now famously saying, hey, they approached us beforehand. And we've had whistleblowers come out and say the FBI was meeting with Twitter to censor things. Yet when they, quote, opened the books, none of those things were revealed. Huh. Why? So people started digging into why. Why didn't we see any coordination that was clearly there? Well, it turns out And Mr. James Baker was the deputy general counsel at Twitter. James Baker, deputy general counsel. And Mr. James Baker was the one who was responsible for sifting through the information that would be given to that journalist for him to release. But here's the thing. If you've been listening to the Jesse Kelly Show for a couple years now, you might think the name James Baker sounds awfully familiar. That's because that James Baker, that's the James Baker who was involved with all the FISA warrant stuff when he was counsel at the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Meaning the human being who was knee-deep involved in the intelligence operation against then-candidate Donald Trump, the man who was knee-deep involved in that, walked away from the FBI, and now he's the deputy general counsel at Twitter. Well, I should say he was. Elon Musk found all this out today and fired him. Now, that's just the story, but that's not the story behind the story. We always look for that, right? What's the story behind the story? My question is this, because only one of these two things can be true. One, Elon Musk knew who James Baker was, because he fired him because he said he didn't know. He said, well, I did not realize that's who this person was. I didn't know he would censor this kind of stuff. He's fired. Okay. How could you not know? You're the smartest man on the planet. You just bought a company for $44 billion. When you buy a company like that, believe me, you're looking under every rug to find out exactly what you're buying. You didn't know who James Baker was? So the average Jesse Kelly listener, they know who James Baker is? And you don't? Okay, that tells me we're either dealing with a really shocking level of naivete there, or B, and this is what I consider actually the more likely explanation, B is something that we've talked about early and often, and we'll keep talking about it on the show. Unless you are purposefully seeking out information from conservative radio and conservative television, unless you are very purposeful about seeking that information out, you live in a world of make-believe. Elon Musk, maybe he'd heard the name before, but maybe he really didn't know who James Baker was. And unless you're purposely seeking out the Jesse Kelly Show every day, you probably don't know who James Baker is. Now, that's a pretty bad thing. Not for you or me, because, okay, we're the ones who know. It's a pretty bad thing because that means a gigantic portion of the country, even people who agree with us, they live in a world that is not real. Even the smartest man on the planet did not know that he had a communist apparatchik as the deputy general counsel of the $44 billion company he just hired. And then he gives this guy a task. Hey, communist apparatchik, do me a favor. Hey, we're going to open up the books and figure out everything Twitter did wrong. You filter that for me, huh? Oh, wouldn't you know? Turns out he did wrong in that too. You see what the problem is. We talk about it all the time. I'm not ripping on Elon. I'm really not. This is the problem we face. It's your problem. It's my problem. This is the problem we face as the people who do know, as the people who are informed. Finding out a way to intelligently inform our friends and family members, our neighbors, our people who agree with us on things, finding out a way to inform them that they live in a world entirely of make-believe. That is the challenge of our time. And if you've been caught unawares by this stuff, as we all are, right? When the corruption gets this bad and this pervasive, eventually you're always caught like, whoa, I had no idea it was that bad. But if you've been caught unaware, don't feel bad. It just happened to the smartest, richest guy on the planet. This is the challenge of our time. waking up the normies, waking up normie Norm, and letting him know communists have infiltrated every single cultural institution, and you can stroke a $44 billion check for Twitter all day long unless you're prepared to sit down and listen to the Jesse Kelly Show for 3 hours a day. You probably don't know that you have a communist as your deputy general counsel, and he's going to torpedo your company from the inside. You don't know unless you're seeking out this information. You just don't know. I sympathize. How could you know? How could he know? All right. We still have headlines. I have some sound bites because I've been going off on all kinds of different stuff today. Hang on.
You're listening to the Jesse Kelly Show. You're welcome.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show. You can give me your emails, whatever you want, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Couple things before we get to headlines I didn't get to. I want to get to a couple emails because I've been lax today. Remember, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Jesse, I was credentialed pursuing my doctorate in stats at a top-tier university. All I had left was my dissertation when the pandemic hit. My school had a vaccine mandate, so I dropped out. My job had a vax mandate and started with all the communist diversity propaganda, so I quit. I started my own business. It's all happened in less than 3 years. What did I learn? Stand by your principles. You'll be able to look your wife and kids in the eyes and mean it when you tell them they have more control than they realize. I'll never write a word of my dissertation, and I'll make double what I made at my old job now that I run my own business. Keep standing strong. They have no idea the savages they have created. I love that so much. That's greatness. Now, one more thing here. That was the good. This is the bad. Kirk Cameron. You know Kirk Cameron, growing pains actor. Kirk Cameron is a very, very vocal, born-again Christian actor and activist now. We've actually had him on the show before to discuss books. He has faith-based kids' books, which I really love. Chris, get him on again. I love those freaking books, and I like Kirk a lot. I have a great deal of admiration for what he does. And people are finding out today that Kirk, he's trying to go around to libraries. You know the libraries that have drag queens every other day to read to your child? Kirk Cameron is trying to go around and have an hour with your children where he will sit down and read for them faith-based books where they'll learn things like, ugh, values. And, ugh, can you believe it? Right and wrong? How gross. They might even learn not to steal. If you're not careful, if they sit in front of Kirk, they might learn not to lie. Get this really gross thing your kids might learn if they sit in front of Kirk. They might learn about the importance of family. Ah, how wretched. So, just to make sure this doesn't happen, Kirk Cameron is being denied these hour-long slots. The public libraries are denying him the slots. Two things you can take from this. One, back to what we talk about all the time, how they become the gatekeepers. You've driven by your public library 100 times in the past month or two, taking kids to and from practice, going to and from work, grocery store. You've driven past your public library. I know you have. Has it ever once occurred to you, I need to get involved in that public library. I probably need to work there, get involved in the schedule they make. Never once has it. Never once has I either. I'm not pointing fingers at you. It hasn't happened to me either. The communist, it has. The communist drives by that public library, and instead of just cranking up the Jesse Kelly Show, as you should do, Chris, instead the communist looks over and says, oh, would you look at that? A public library. I bet you if I got in there, I bet I could control what books kids read and what books kids see. And I bet I could take my sick religion and I bet I could put it on these kids without their parents knowing or caring. You don't think in those terms because you're not a demonic supervillain, but you had better understand the communist does think in those terms. And we have to start getting better about this stuff. Now, two, that's the first thing you could take from it. They're the gatekeepers. They find the gates and become the gatekeepers. They find the choke points in society. Two, every country has a religion. I don't care what you think. From the largest, most powerful nations to the tiny tribes out there, whether you're worshiping God himself or worshiping the dirt and the sun, everyone has a religion. Large nations, small tribes, because the religion is the pole where your society revolves around. It revolves around the pole, orbits around the pole, I guess I should say. Very similar to don't, you know what, Chris, I'm not doing that. I'm not making any Kamala jokes right now. I'm making a point. Grow up. Your society orbits around the pole of its religion. Every society has one. You had one here in America. I don't care what you believe. That doesn't matter. That's your business. But you had one here. You base your laws on it. Your societal values are based on it, from tiny tribes to huge nations. Kirk Cameron is denied a spot at story time at public library because the truth is Kirk Cameron, his religion isn't the religion of the U.S. of gay. That's the truth. The country, very sadly, has a new religion now. May not like that, still true.
And now...
here's a headline.
By go, you know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
This sport is all enforcers. Professional ice fighting is coming to Wyoming. Gosh, Chris, that sounds so sweet. Do you think the suits would let us sponsor, do some kind of show sponsorship of an ice fighting team? Oh, it'd be great. Oh, my gosh. Wait, we have the corporate credit card, Chris. What's stopping us? Do you think you can lie on the expense sheet? How are they going to find out? Now, they may ask, hey, why are you sending $5,000 to Wyoming? Who's Big Jim in Wyoming? And we can say, no, you don't understand. That's a resource material for the show. GOP urges Congress to investigate whistleblower claims, easy for me to say, of child trafficking under Joe Biden. It's probably important for you to know, as a United States citizen, that courtesy of Joe Biden and Democrat policies of open borders, you now have the largest child trafficking operation operating in the world today. You have it right on your southern border. Children, women and children, daily being hauled across our southern border to be abused in horrific ways I won't go into. Remember, compassion, kindness, I'm an immigration squish, has a cost, and the cost is high. All right. We're going to do this again tomorrow. We're going to have fun, I promise. We're going to have fun all again. Wasn't history sweet? I missed it. That's all.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.